Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we've got my good friend, Mr. Willie Cantu, a retired police officer from San Antonio, and also an expert in law enforcement. I wanted to get him on because, my friends, we need to chat a little bit more about what I consider is the local war on police. There is a national war on police, of course, but quite often we forget that there is a local war on police. So we want to chat with Willie, but let's welcome him first. Willie, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking time to be with us, buddy.
Hey, George, it's been a little bit, huh?
It has. We haven't chatted in a while, but no, I think we're going to make up for it tonight.
Yeah, let's do it. I've had my own thing going on. I've had a couple of podcasts that come out on the Blue Wolf podcast that are getting some pretty rave reviews. So just my little commercial.
Tell the folks, tell the folks where they can follow that or where they can find that, because I know a lot of folks are going to be very interested in that podcast.
Yeah, at go on YouTube at Blue Wolf Podcast, B-L-U, no E, Wolf Podcast, and you'll find it there. I've also got a website, www.bluewolfpodcast.com.
And you've had
I'm not trying to overshadow this, because you know you're the one that started me off, got me comfortable with speaking in front of the mic. So I'm always appreciative of your trust in me and my information.
Well, let's launch into this. Let's talk about this war on police. But first of all, let's talk about recently. There have been discussions, in fact, during the presidential debates, there has been comments about supposedly the low crime rate. And there was an article that came out debunking the low crime rate, as well as here locally, I have been keeping tabs of just the violent crimes that are reported in the media, okay? Not the ones that are reported to the police, but just the ones that are reported in the media. And at least a shooting a day in San Antonio every week, at least one, sometimes two or three, maybe on the weekends. And it is far from being low, in my opinion. What are your thoughts?
Well, Trump was not wrong. Even though he was fact-checked on the spot during that debate, of which he was debating three other people, not one, is what we all saw that night. But the FBI have changed their reporting system, their crime reporting system, to a system called NIBRS, N-I-B-R-S, November India Bravo Radio Sierra. And not all the cities and their departments have changed to that type of reporting system. In fact, two of the largest cities in the nation, the NYPD, or PDs, I'm sorry, NYPD and the LAPD, are not reporting their crime statistics to them. There's some states, California and Florida, that are sending hardly any crime data to them. So yeah, they're skewed in the numbers. Of course, it's close to election time, so they're going to use every little bit of hope, you know, things that, I mean, if you go by the numbers alone, it shows that they're lower, but they're not giving you the whole story with it. The other part of that is just the natural law of order, where clear and true factors, they only produce natural results. So how in the heck is crime lower in this nation when we have millions of more illegal aliens in this country, fewer police officers, and hard to find, you know, to replace them? They're being trained on kinder, gentler tactics. They're less apt to do any proactive police work because of the soft on crime DAs and the anti-police DAs, like the one we have in our Bexar County, Joe Gonzalez. There's no way crime is lower with all those factors going on. Anybody with any common sense should know that that's not going to produce, you know, a better crime fighting, right? It's easy to see. So it's a lie. flat out lie. It's not a maybe, it's a lie.
So what about the issue then of this here in San Antonio? We've got $1 million, I think it's $2 million crime plan to address hot spots that was put together by the by UTSA, some professors, and the SAPD. I'm not sure who is at the SAPD, but supposedly they are addressing hot spots in San Antonio, and they claim that there's crime, that the crime has been lowered at those hot spots. I don't know about the rest of the city, but apparently at those hot spots, the crime has been lowered. What do you hear about that? What are your thoughts?
Well, a great segue into what this issue right here. Talk about phony stats. That's what this hotspot initiative with the UTSA, the Criminal Justice Department, they're producing, it's hard to say phony because the stats come from a scientific experiment, and that's all it is. It's a scientific experiment. You have to have specific rules and a controlled, setting. And they're creating that. The hotspots are, most of them are apartment complexes that are gated or, contained, and they're one address and things like that. That is, and they're producing these statistics in that area. So if you have an apartment complex, let's say with 20 buildings, it has one address, and then of course all these suite numbers, apartment numbers with it. If you park a patrol car with two police officers, uniformed police officer, marked patrol car, two uniformed police officers sitting inside with their overhead emergency lights on saying, "I'm here," I'm surprised they're not turning their sirens on. Criminals that are dumber than rocks, they usually will not commit crimes within catching distance. So yes, the crime is going to go down in those areas. So they take those stats and they are what they are. Then the city takes them, and as we've seen, they sell them to the city as if, look at this percentage, it's showing that crimes, violent crimes, are lower. But they're not telling you the whole truth. Or if they do, it's like in the small print, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the other scams do. So it's the same thing. It's the only thing that the city has to hang their hat on in a Democrat-controlled failed city. Yep. And that's why they're selling the stats like we just talked about before. Most of these cities with high crime are Democrat-controlled. And it's not about fixing the problem, because the other factors are, and we'll talk about this here in a little bit, they have entities like the Wren Collective that are trying to reduce the number of incarcerated minorities. So with all that going on, they still want to, satisfy that agenda, but then they act like crime is down. Well, if you're not putting more people in jail, well, crime can't be down. And that's what that initiative is. It's nothing more than a show that our police department hangs their hat on to show the city that, hey, look, we're doing something. And most people are headline readers. They're not going to read the whole story.
Right. It's been very, very interesting. I'll add to this that while I've been tracking this past year, the number of shootings and stabbings, none of them have occurred at the hotspots, but they're occurring all over the place, all over everywhere else. So, again, the hotspots may be safe according to their standard, their statistics, or for their statistics, but the rest of the city certainly isn't.
Well, when you and I started talking about this, I talked to a very good source. Of course, I don't reveal my sources. That's very much in the know about this initiative. The city's not even implementing it right. It has to be implemented altogether. And why aren't they doing it? It's because it comes down to money. So you've already messed up the experiment if you're not doing it as it's designed, for one. But they're doing a good job because we have liberal media here, the Express News. They sell this lie just like everything else. They sell it, produce it to the people that don't do their own research. And what you're doing, you're keeping track yourself and you're seeing it is not lower, you know. And then the other thing is that they talk about, you know, violent crime, and then they separate crimes into nonviolent crimes. And like I've said before, these things like theft is considered a nonviolent crime. Do you ever try to catch a thief, especially when whatever the amount it is enhanceable to a felony? They're going to run and they're going to resist when you catch them. So there's nothing nonviolent about that. That's when officers get hurt, chasing them, falling, maybe tripping, maybe twisting an ankle or whatever, and or getting, you know, punched or shot when they catch them.
Yep.
So well, they're not.
Yeah, this past
they're
week.
They're not violent.
Yeah, this past week there was a shooting, an officer related shooting of a guy who had 3 warrants, and resisted, ran away from the police, and then when they caught him, he threatened that he had a gun, and he got killed. So,
sometimes they give you the cliff notes.
Yep.
I used to tell these guys, you don't need to wait. If this guy is trying to ruse you and he says, hey, I have a gun and you don't see one, believe him. You know what I mean? What?
Yep.
Why are you waiting and going, well, he's not telling the truth? I mean, you know, the officers are expected to use a lesser force than is necessary. And that's not what they're allowed to do. They're allowed to step up their level of force when they believe that their life is in threat of serious bodily injury or imminent danger of death.
Let's go to a criticism that the police are getting. And you were alluding to it about the number of police officers that have left. There is a criticism that was written in the San Antonio Courant, which is a very, very liberal left-wing newspaper here in town. It's a small newspaper, but it's very left-wing. They were criticizing the police for their response time. What are your thoughts?
Wow, isn't that an oxymoron? You know, here we have that issue you and I talked about where the San Antonio Library was wanting more police presence. And then our leftist anti-police crybabies would say, no, no, they scare people. So do you want the officers to show up, you know, when you call them on time? Or do you not want to see them? Which one is it? Right?
Right.
So, but the issue with police response time has always, it's always been an issue. Even when I was on back then, they were always trying to fix it. Well, number one, there's not enough officers on the department to respond. So they're handling other situations and other calls, and they'll get to it. And now they prioritize, you know, calls. They put them as you know, in order of importance. So if it's not important, like, hey, I just had someone steal my car, but they don't have any suspects. They don't, you know, they didn't see it happen. It's of low importance. And those things you can actually make a report online and things like that. But we used to be like a 100% full service police department. And I don't know what they've done lately, but I could tell you about 80 to 85% of the calls for service are unnecessary. So they're still, I would guess that they were probably still responding to some calls that are unnecessary. The other side of it is, and it's always been an issue, is the, first line supervisors, the sergeants of patrol sectors or districts, things like that. A lot of them aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're not watching these officers' times spent on calls. Because you have lazy officers, you have, meaning that they're going to spend a lot of time on a call that doesn't need that much time. We call it milking. And as they allow all the other officers, you know, handling calls and their area, things like that. So that's all, to me, that's always been the issue. You need your supervisors to get on these guys and go, hey, you need to finish up. That minor accident shouldn't take you 2 hours. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the issue with response times. But it really is, it's going to get worse because you don't have enough officers to begin with.
Yep. Now, speaking of that, and we started talking about it a little at the beginning of the show, but the Bexar County District Attorney, Joe Gonzalez, has been caught red-handed with talking to an organization that a leftist organization coaching him on how to prosecute police officers. The DA has a war on police officers going on. And however, his ambition to prosecute police, or in his efforts to prosecute police, he hasn't done a very good job, and there have been dismissal of some cases against police officers. Can you talk to us about that, both his war on police as well as those cases?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's part of a large, I didn't say global, effort by the left to just destroy police in general. Some say, the longer this keeps on happening, I tend to believe it, that they want a national police force. And if that occurs, you're going to see those officers being allowed to get away with a lot of stuff you don't like right now, because they'll be controlled by, you know, one party.
Politicians at the top. Yep.
Yeah, 100%. And if they don't, you know,
look at the FBI now.
They'll be arresting people for things that are totally against the Constitution, because that's what they want, is the control. And then, you know, people like the Wren Collective and Joe Gonzalez, they're useful idiots. They believe in this stuff, and so it just bleeds down into our area over here. He's got that municipal integrity unit in his own office, and I don't believe that whenever there's any kind of police action that appears serious, and obviously it's serious if it hits the news and causes backlash, that they're trying to clear officers. Even when you do the due diligence, they would be cleared by their lawful justifications and case law and things like that. They're not doing that with these officers. They're 0-3 with the last three, and those have all ended up in mistrials due to their ineptitude. And then only, of course, if you get a mistrial, you can be retried, right? They are dismissing the cases right after because they're saying they cannot prove them beyond a reasonable doubt. Well, how the heck did you not know that to begin with? And these officers, their lives and their livelihood, you know, they're having to find jobs, and the stress that's upon them for almost 4 years, only to easily be determined that the DA didn't have proof beyond a reasonable doubt to begin with. And they just wipe them, you know, pick them up. Hey, there you go. You won. And these four officers, they're still having to fight for their jobs back and their back pay. So, and we had talked about this before. Joe Gonzalez is as leftist as he is. He's not woke or leftist enough. So they had to bring in that Wren Collective from Austin. Bunch of women who, like I just talked about, their goal is to reduce the number of minorities incarcerated. That is it. And there's nothing else after that. Well, what about the crime that goes up if you let these people out? I don't care, as long as there's a lower number of minorities in jail. So it's a mess. And I don't think there's any number that he can get to that people can go, hey, dude, you need to stop. It should be happening already. The governor's office needs to implement this rogue prosecutor law on him and hammer him. Of course, our leftist county will pay for his defense, and of course that'll be a long battle.
Yep. They have in fact the Bexar County Commissioner's Court has signaled that they will pay to defend the DA if he is prosecuted by the state, which is amazing to me. I mean, just is outrageous to me.
Wasting taxpayers' money. I mean, if they, that group, I don't know how many there are in that commissioner's court, but you can't see what he's doing. And here's the issue with the leftists and this stuff like this. It's not like a criminal approaches someone with the intent to rob them at gunpoint or even assault them and ask their political affiliation to begin with. It's gonna come to the Democrats too.
Yep.
And they don't realize that. It has to get to them first for them to go, oh, wait a minute. But they still, they can't fathom what it takes to stop these criminals.
Yep.
And it takes use of force. I didn't say excessive force. I said it takes use of force. And if we have to use force, that is to the point of just below killing them, when we could have justifiably killed them, they need to take that and not take it as the officer being bad or, you know, mean or racist. Of course, you know, that's the word they throw out all the time, but it's just justified force.
Yep. Well, we've gone full circle. We get back to the issue of they're implementing these policies. They, being these liberal elected officials, are implementing these liberal policies, and then they claim that because they are, the crime rate is low. And in the meantime, the police officers themselves are suffering low morale, and many of them are walking away. Correct?
Yeah, the officers that are close to retirement in years, they're going to see how the numbers fall for their, you know, their pensions. I see a lot of them and hear a lot of them doing that. And, you know, and then that's when they start going, well, you know, I can take on this job over here, or, hey, babe, you can go to work again, and, you know, or I can sell raspas over here, you know, whatever. But, you know, they're wanting to be gone is what it is. And I'm hearing also that a lot of the newer ones that aren't quite vested, they're realizing, I just need to go. It's, you know, that I can go back to what I was doing. Some have reenlisted back into the military because it's just not what they thought it would be. And they're smart enough to see that this isn't going to work out well for them. You know, that's the problem with upper management. Yeah. I just did a podcast. My last podcast was on upper management, is that these people are so full of themselves that they think they're smarter than the rest of their underlings. And it's not true.
When we talk upper management, we're talking about upper management at the San Antonio Police Department.
Correct.
Yep.
Correct. And a lot of these, their subordinates, you know, their rank may be just a measly old patrolman, but some of them have double master's degrees. They just choose not to promote up. They may enjoy what they're doing at that time, whatever task it is or assignment, and the days off that they have. So upper management is consistently, I saw it when I was there, that they think, I'm not going to see their ridiculousness. And that's what happens with a lot of these officers. They get dismayed, the morale is low, and they end up leaving.
Wow.
The other part is, because of low recruitment, they're lowering the standards for officers, and you're seeing that across the nation.
That's a recipe for disaster.
Sure. Again, there's a law of natural order. You're going to see that the results aren't going to be good when you lower the standards with these officers. So a lot of them, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel. And I'm not talking bad about them. Thank you and thank them for stepping up. But the department should be the ones to provide them with the necessary tools to be effective and save their own lives. And they're not doing it because they're trying to play patty cake with criminals.
Wow. Willie, we're gonna close. Can we close with a positive, with a silver lining of some type? I guess voting. Yeah, get people out to vote. I guess that's the bottom line.
You know, I said that. I did a little, and I didn't release it. It was just something I did in my truck. You know, but because with everything going on, the ridiculous debate, the two attempts of assassination on Donald Trump, you know, they're unprecedented times. And I just said, hey, look, man, you need to go out and vote, an early vote.
Yes.
Not on the day of. Dan Bongino, who is a podcaster I listen to religiously, he says, hey, 10 and 10, man. You call 10 people, 10 family or friends, and they call 10 people, and y'all go vote. That's what we need. We need
bottom
to
line.
Overload that system to where they cannot produce a number, you know, enough dead people or illegals, you know, or fake ballots to cheat, because you know they're doing it. They're losing. Yep. They wouldn't be trying to kill Donald Trump if they weren't.
Yep, that's
so,
right.
that's right. I guess the positive part of it is Well, George, you and I are, you know, still living good and breathing and healthy to an extent, right?
Speaking out. We're speaking out. We're trying to educate and inform. My friend, thank you very much for taking time today. Tell the people again where they can follow you about your podcast.
Yeah, you can follow me at Blue Wolf Podcast at YouTube, on YouTube, BLU, no E, Wolf Podcast. And then I have a site, www.bluewolfpodcast.com. And of course, on your show, because there's our podcast there as well.
You got it.
But I appreciate it again, George. Thank you for trusting me.
You got it. And we're going to do another one. I've already got the idea. We'll chat after the show, but I've already got an idea for the next podcast, because it's another hobby.
Always happy.
Okay. Once again, my friends, we've been speaking with my good friend, Mr. Willie Cantu, a former San Antonio police officer, retired police officer, and law enforcement expert. And we're going to do another show real soon. And until then, stay safe. Willie, take care, my man.
Take care, George.